Welcome to Network, a production of Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And now your host, Joel Sutherland.
Welcome to Network, the program dedicated to helping pastors and churches cast the net of the gospel. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Recently, my colleague, Mark Merritt, interviewed Thomas Hammond, who works for the Executive Committee of the Southern Baptist Convention, and they spoke about event follow-up. Listen in as Thomas and Mark give you some great advice on how to follow up after an event.
I know everyone does it differently, but talk about the role that Sunday school might play in the follow-up.
Well, the purpose of dividing those cards into different groups is, first of all, to have your team set up knowing what visit they're making. And so when we had that that category of people who made a salvation decision, we followed them up in 24 to 48 hours. We wanted to be at their home as soon as possible. And we did this through Sunday school. So we would have Sunday school classes already committed with individuals from their class that they'd be there. Say the event was on Tuesday night, we would do a big follow-up on Wednesday night or Thursday night, depending upon people's schedule. And we would sign people up through the class that, you know, I can come Tuesday night, Wednesday night, or I can come Thursday night. And so every name went into a Sunday school class. Every person who was there, even a person who said, I don't have the interest in your church, but I don't have a church, that person was placed in a Sunday school class as a prospect, placed in that outreach book for that class. And it was that church, that class's responsibility to follow up with them. And we try to follow up everybody in just a few weeks. Now, depending upon the size of your church and the size of the crowd that's coming, sometimes that's difficult. But it takes a little bit of planning to get everything organized, because truthfully, we put a lot more emphasis on the event itself than we do on follow-up. Mm-hmm. And what I always encourage churches is to realize once the event is over, you're actually half done.
That's a good word.
And so when you're half done, now the second half is the follow-up.
I know a lot of times we get discouraged if we see people that we've reached out to that came to our event, they filled out a registration card, and we reach out to them, but yet they don't receive Christ at that moment, or they don't come to our church and visit. What happens to those cards if people fail to show any interest in Christ or the church?
Well, we encourage churches to keep them in that class's prospect file, and this is the reason. Let's say, for example, you're going out on a visit, and the hot visit that you had for that night wasn't home. Well, if you keep those other prospects there that haven't been to church in a couple of weeks, couple of months, or shown no interest in your church, you have no idea what they're going through at that moment. And there could be some kind of a life tragedy or some type of difficulty, and their receptivity to the church might be enhanced at that moment. The reality as well is the gospel seed had been planted in their heart, whatever event you were doing, and a few months later, that might start mm-hmm. having a great effect upon their life. There may be some hunger for spiritual truth in their life. So we always encourage our classes to keep those in your file as well. So if you go to your visit, nobody's there, go follow up with them. Now, here's one thing that we encourage churches to do as they train their people in this follow-up strategy is to teach them not to go make a visit, but go make a friend.
Wow, that's a good word.
And it's a different perspective. It's a different dynamic, because if I'm going to make a visit, all I'm doing is giving you some information about a Sunday school class or our class, giving some information about our church, and saying thank you and pray for you and hope you can come. But if I go make a friend, then what I'm doing is I'm sitting down, I'm getting to know that person, they're getting to know me, and I'm learning how our church can minister to them or their family, or ways that our church really can reach out to them better. So there's a whole lot of opportunity and potential. But if we just discard those cards or that information from those individuals, then we'll never be able to follow up with
right.
them.
So the list for a Sunday school, the role for a Sunday school class really becomes a list of people that we're responsible to minister to. Is that correct?
Exactly. Every Sunday school class needs to have a prospect outreach leader, somebody who's responsible for it. It could be the teacher, but the teacher has enough on their plate, so it needs to be another person who really is leading the class in its outreach efforts. Most Sunday school classes are really good at reaching inward and taking care of their mm-hmm. own membership. But there's an individual whose job it is to encourage, to inform the class about training coming up or outreach events coming up, or even opportunities to make visits and invite people to their class. Then it seems to be that those classes are more effective in reaching people, and they grow rapidly.
I remember when I first began as a Sunday school teacher back in the late 70s, which I'm dating myself here, I realize.
Sure.
But the important thing for us was to keep that role purged so we could have 100% attendance every Sunday. That was a big deal. But that's really just the opposite of what we should be doing. We should have a whole list of people that we're ministering to that aren't even attending our church, it sounds like.
Exactly. And use that database to keep informing them of events that are coming up in your church.
Right.
My wife and I visited a church, and this was about 11 years ago. 12 years ago, we visited this church. We still get information from them. They still mail us things that they're doing. In fact, we've gone back to that church and done quite a few things that we've seen and that we've seen that they're hosting, and we've enjoyed those very much. And I kept thinking, you know, if I was a lost person and mm-hmm. they keep sending me stuff,
right.
the odds of me coming back are extremely high.
Right. So we've talked a little bit about those people that don't show any interest and how we should continue ministering to them through the Sunday school, keep them on our rolls and keep ministering to them. But what about those that do attend? Maybe they were won to Christ at the event, or maybe they were just someone that was new to the community and they came to the event and they plugged into the church. How do we go about assimilating these new people into the body? That seems to be such a difficult task sometimes.
But it's a very hard task because few people have that responsibility, or few churches have an individual whose job is to help assimilate people into the life of the church. What I encourage churches to do is to have every person who visits their church, every person who comes to an event, every person who joins the church, place them on a Sunday school roll. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they're a member of that class. It means that their class is responsible for helping that person find their way in the next few months, finding a class, finding some type of an affinity group, and some opportunity to be involved in ministry. And when that person is being contacted, invited to certain things, and they do come, and then you say, you know, there's no pressure to join a church. We just want to get to know you better. It helps. We know how important relationships are in assimilating people. And if people come to church and, you know, they might get a handshake or a good morning, but that's all they get. In a few weeks, they're not coming back. They have to establish meaningful relationships for them to continue to come to your church.
Well, that was a great interview about event follow-up and registration. Be sure and join us after the break as we come back and continue this theme with the guys in Evangelism Ministries on how we can follow up after events here on Network.
You never know when your life will be shaken. Last year, I lost
my job. Everything fell apart. All my life,
I depended on my money and success. I had it all. But I felt
so alone when my husband died.
I've always relied on myself. Then somebody showed me
hope that could transform my life.
I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a
personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
And I was able to find it here.
Findithere.com.
Welcome back to Network. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland, and I'm joined again with Steve Parr and Mark Merritt. And Steve, this morning on the way into work, I got a free cup of coffee from Starbucks. And I got that coffee because they did follow up with me. I registered with them, and it was my birthday last week, and I got a card in the mail that said, if you bring this by, you get a free cup of coffee. They're doing follow up with registration. Now, Thomas just mentioned that we ought to use our Sunday school classes to follow up in 24 to 48 hours. Well, you've written two books on Sunday school that really works and Sunday school that really responds. We're talking about working and responding. How does Sunday school fit into event follow-up?
Well, I want to say about Thomas Hammond, I've known him a long time. He did an excellent job. He could go on tour with me, as a matter of fact, and talk about Sunday school with the job that he just did. And I think about it from a couple of perspectives. First of all, think about who helps people connect. Now, I'll give you an example. Middle schoolers are better at helping other middle schoolers connect than anybody else. High schoolers help high schoolers connect. College-age students help college-age students connect. Young couples help young couples connect, all the way through the most senior adult. So would it not make sense if it's a middle schooler that registered that we assign him to a group of middle schoolers to follow up? If it is a college-age young adult, that we'd assign them to a college-age group or a class? Now, for example, if you assign the middle school boy to the senior adult ladies group, God bless them, they may do a good job of following him up, but they're not likely to connect with him or he with them. It's nothing personal. It's just part of life stages. Mm-hmm. Now, you'll notice, Joel, that Sunday school groups or small groups, home groups, are already generally divided up by these affinities, these life stages. So it just makes sense that we would do that. And then not only that, that it is a fact that when you get someone involved with a group like that, Tom Rainer did some research some years ago, Joel, and they found that if you get a person connected with a small group, they're five times as likely 5 years later to be involved in the life of your church. Now, that is huge. Mm. So you would think any church would take advantage of the Sunday school or your Bible study groups, whatever you name they go by, to do follow-up of your prospects.
And so you have to get not only get that class involved, but you have to get them involved before the event takes place.
I like that. You give them a heads up. You plan in advance a follow-up strategy where you give them the heads up that, hey, this is coming up. And after it's over, you'll be emailed names, and we need you to, at a minimum, call them, if possible, have a personal contact with them. Now, I like what Thomas said. You're not going to make a visit. You're going to make a friend, because I know there's a lot of discussion about, does visitation still work? Well, I know this. It doesn't work every time I don't do it. Mm-hmm. But when I do participate, you can make a friend. That's not the only way, though. How about inviting them to your home for a coffee and cake, or inviting them to Starbucks for some coffee? Mm-hmm. Because it's a reality that you do more connection in that 20, 30 minutes at the coffee shop or in your home or in a restaurant or in their home than you will in 7 or 8 months of small group or worship, even if you can get them there. This is not guaranteed, but it enhances the possibility they're going to come back. Now, why is that important? Because, again, we mentioned last week that not everybody responds to the gospel upon a first hearing. Sometimes they've got to hear it again and again. So we're trying to connect them, not for any selfish motive. We want them to hear the gospel. But certainly if they're already believers, we also want to be friends, because people visit a church because they're invited. They come back if people are friendly. But here's why they stay: because they make friends.
Friends. That's right. That's right. Mark, you mentioned back when you were teaching Sunday school in the 1930s or 40s, somewhere around through there. I forget when you mentioned that you tried to get a clean roll.
Yes.
So that means only perfect attenders are allowed to be on the roll. That's not the key to growing a Sunday school, is it?
No. Arthur Flake and I were good, close, personal friends. And it might have even been the early 80s. I can't remember.
Oh,
but anyway,
okay.
Yes, we felt like our goal was to keep that roll for people that were active, not realizing the importance of having names on that list that we're ministering to, that we're in charge of, that we are seeking each week to make some type of contact with, so that we will have an opportunity to share Christ with them.
So if you're a pastor, church, Sunday school teacher listening, and you have a big event coming up, Sunday school's already organized, so go ahead and use that organization for the benefit of your event follow-up. Well, thank you for listening to Network Today. To find out more about evangelism and events and things that can help your church win people to Christ, be sure and visit our 24-hour equipping site, evangelismga.com, and there you can find a host of resources to help you and your church. I'm your host, Joel Sutherland. Thank you for listening to Network Today.
You've been listening to Network, a program dedicated to challenging believers to cast the net of the gospel. Network is a production of the Evangelism Ministries of the Georgia Baptist Convention.